Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Thank you for joining the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston.
Community colleges are one of the unsung heroes of higher education. They do so much to educate people of color, to educate non-traditional students, to educate people from working class and backgrounds. And so we're very happy that we're going to talk about the value of community colleges today. And one of the things that we saw during the Obama administration is this emphasis on the value of community colleges and really putting more emphasis and investment in community colleges. And so we hope that that will continue, and we expect that that will continue under the Biden administration. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston. And today we're going to talk all about community colleges, but specifically, we're going to talk about the impact of COVID on community colleges. We're going to talk about the challenges as well as the opportunities. And our guest today is Michael Neal. Michael Neal is a longtime friend. As you all know, I am from a small town of Brownwood, Texas, and Michael Neal is from there too, but he's doing big things now up in Memphis and on his way to Kansas City. So I just can't wait to hear all about his work in community colleges. Michael Neal recently joined Johnson County Community College as Executive VP, woohoo, and Chief Operating Officer. In that role, he has responsibility for the management of the college's operating budget, a management budget, and the administration of institutional fiscal and support areas, including business services, campus services, financial services, information services, legal affairs, and facilities. Prior to joining JCCC, Mike served as Vice President, Finance and Administration at Southwest Tennessee Community College. STCC is the second largest higher educational institution in the Memphis metropolitan area, serving over 10,000 students with 1,000 employees. In Mike's role at, of VP F&A, he had P&L responsibility for $110 million in annual revenue and led a division of 200 plus employees that encompassed finance, contracts, strategic sourcing, budget and financial planning, HR, IT, physical plant, public safety, auxiliary services, risk management, and business continuity. He also has experience as an entrepreneur and in finance in the private sector. Neal earned a Bachelor of Business Administration with a finance concentration and a Master's of Arts in Economics from the University of Memphis, and was deeply involved in civic causes in Memphis. Welcome, Michael Neal.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you for that introduction. That was very nice and very kind of you. I'm so happy to be here. So happy to see a good friend, and looking forward to having a conversation about a topic that is near and dear to my heart. So I am looking forward to this. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you for accepting my invitation. It's great to see a small town guy like you doing big things in the city, okay?
Thank you very much.
So I'm so happy that you're here. But before we get started on the topic of community colleges, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, in terms of, you summarized it well. For the last 4 years, I've been in the community college arena. Most recently, I was vice president at finance administration at Southwest Tennessee Community College. And Southwest is in Memphis. And so we're a large urban institution. We serve a very large urban area. So I've had a great opportunity for the last 4 years to get an in-depth indoctrination to the role that community colleges play and the importance of community colleges, especially in large metropolitan urban areas. And how they impact the lives of students and the community in and of itself. And so, you know, over the last 4 years, I've just got a very good understanding of what it means to be a community college, what the role is, and how empowering it can be. You know, community colleges, as you said, Ramona, is a great step and opportunity, and typically, first generation students, a lot of them go to community colleges. And so it's an opening door for many on a path to greater economic opportunities in later life. And so just being involved with that over the last 4 years, you know, as an executive at a large urban institution has been very opening for me, someone who spent their entire career in a private sector. You mentioned I'm leaving the Memphis area. I've been here for a long time. I won't say how long, but for a very long time. And I'll be going to the Kansas City, Missouri metropolitan area. Actually, I will be on the Kansas side of that border in Overland Park at a school called Johnson County Community College. Very much looking forward to go there. It is also a large institution, serving a large metropolitan area, providing services to a large student base. And so I'm looking very much forward to that opportunity. Prior to my foray into community colleges, I was an entrepreneur. I ran my own company for a while. That was a passion of mine and something I did after I'd spent, you know, basically most of my career at FedEx and various different roles there. So I did transition to higher education. It's been one that's been very successful and very beneficial to me, just growing as an individual and knowing more about the roles of community college. Has been also a profession. It's been very good for me as well. So that's a little bit about my background and kind of where I am right now.
So what took you from the private sector to higher education, specifically in the area of community colleges?
That is a great question. It was by happenstance, and I'll tell you what happened. So I left FedEx and started my own company. It was a online to offline version. It was a Costco, basically an online version of Costco. So that's what the idea was. Raising money for a new business can be tough. And I struggled to raise the kind of capital I needed to raise. And so at a certain point, it became clear to me that business was not going to be successful. And there was an opportunity at Southwest. I happened to have served with somebody who was working at Southwest on a board previously at the University of Memphis when I was doing a lot of work, volunteer work. And the opportunity came up. And, you know, I sent him an email and we kind of talked and said, you know, this might be a good opportunity for you. And so I applied and had an interview and was hired. And that's how I got into community colleges. It was just an opportunity that came up as I was looking to close the business that I was running. And that was about a little bit over 4 years ago.
Wow. And so now you're on your way to Kansas City. So All of our Kansas City listeners, y'all need to welcome my friend Michael Neal with open arms and get him in the community. Get him. You just heard him say he's a volunteer. So yes, get him volunteering and serving serving the community. Yes.
Without a doubt, you can bank on it to my friends, soon to be friends in the Kansas City, Missouri metropolitan area, to the folks in Overland Park, to the folks in Johnson County, Kansas. I look forward to being very active in the community as I was here in the Memphis metropolitan area for 3 decades. You know, I look forward to doing likewise, there once I get there here in the not too distant future.
Sounds great. So your topic today is the impact of COVID on community colleges. Challenges and opportunities. So let's talk about that. Tell us about COVID on community and its impact.
And you know, it, 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 if those of us who are in community colleges, Ramona, you know, we know this information, we look at, we read it, we feel it, we see the students, so we, you know, we're very close to it. But I think for broader society in general here in the United States, that the understanding of what COVID has done to community colleges is something that's an untold story that needs to be told. It is absolutely, it's been very significant. And let me just kind of walk you through some of the data and statistics, and then we can talk about some of the underlying reasons, and then there are a number of opportunities going forward. So just to hear a few numbers, I'll run by you. When you look at colleges in total for academic year 2021, so fall of 2020, spring of 2021, the decline in enrollment is about 2.5 to 3% across the US, somewhere in there in a grand total basis. When you look at community colleges, the decline is 10% plus.
Wow.
So 4 to 5 times more the decline of enrollment at community colleges than what you see in the grand total. And when you decompose the numbers, you know, four-year private schools were up, four-year schools or public was down, but not as much as community colleges. So, you know, there's a difference in, depending on, you know, what segment that you're looking at. But of all the segments, the community colleges were hit the greatest. And not just by a little bit, but by a factor of 2, 3, 4 times more. And Ramona, so I said I was at Southwest Tennessee Community College. Let me put it in some context there. So I told you those numbers in terms of the total and then for the national. At Southwest, which is a major urban institution in the Memphis metropolitan area, our fall enrollment was down 23%.
Wow.
Our spring enrollment was down right around 23%. So even when you decompose the numbers and look under the hood, and look at within community colleges, the big major institutions, urban institutions were hit dramatically, dramatically, dramatically. And so, you know, that is an issue that not only impacts an institution, but it impacts society. Mm-hmm. So let me give you some context. So if I go back to the national number in terms of community colleges, and you say, well, you know, it's down 10%. Let me put that in context so people can understand. That's 400 to 500,000 students that was once, you know, this time, you know, a year ago, that was getting a college education and moving forward on to something hopefully better in life opportunities that are not enrolled now. So that's a material impact. 500,000 students that are not in college that was there a year ago. That's not trivial. That is not trivial at all whatsoever. And so that's the overall. But then when you start to peel it back further and look at what the impact was to first-time enrolled students. So when the overall number was 10% plus for community colleges. When you look at students who are first-time coming to college, many of those are in that 18 to 24, 25 demographic for sure. That number was down 21%.
Whoa.
One-fifth of all students. In that range, at age range, decline on a year-over-year basis.
First-generation students.
Absolutely, positively, without a doubt. Just dramatic decline. It was devastating. And so there are reasons why. I'm going to talk about the reasons why in terms of why those numbers are so great, but just so there's some context there in terms of what the overall number was down for first-time students enrolling. Men were disproportionately impacted versus women. Men were down about 15%. Women had a 7% decline. So the impact was a little bit more disproportionate for males at community colleges. And then when you look at Black, Hispanic, and Native Americans, those numbers were down 28 to 29%, more than a quarter. So the impact of COVID was just absolutely devastating in terms of enrollment for all community colleges, and then various segments were even more so impacted. Not trivial at all whatsoever. And Ramona, when you have those kind of declines, my hope is that there's a bounce back and we get those, what happens typically when the declines are that severe, it takes a while to work your way out of it.
So let's talk about, you know, since the enrollment is down, let's talk about its impact. What is its impact on the community? What is its impact on the economy, the nation, everything? What do you see as the multiple impacts that this decrease in enrollment has on society?
It's great, Ramona. So it starts at the individual level, and to your point, it goes from there on to society in total. So at the individual level, there are hundreds of thousands of students who were once pursuing a college degree who are not at this time. They've gotten off the path. So just individually, that impact is devastating for many at an individual level. What that means is if you assume that the average student going to a community college will have wages of somewhere on an average of $40,000 to $50,000 a year once they graduate versus wages of $20,000 to $25,000. So if you say they're going to double their wages over the lifetime, that is a tremendous impact in terms of economic activity and wealth that's created in society in total. A lot of community colleges, Ramona, serve as not only places of education, but they provide students with a place of refuge. We talked a lot about at Southwest Tennessee Community College wraparound services. So many of the students that come to Southwest get support, not only in terms of maybe financial aid, Pell or scholarship, but also help with utility bills, childcare services, certainly mental health services. All those things, those students who are not enrolled now do not get those opportunities any longer because they're not connected to the institution. And that is a tremendous societal impact when you start multiplying it by multiple hundreds of thousands of students who were once engaged. And then just for the economy in total, Dr. Houston, going forward and what that means, when you have that type of dramatic impact in a single year that's probably going to take some time to work your way out of, just overall economic growth would be somewhat less than it would be had those people been engaged and involved and stayed on the path towards getting some kind of certificate or college degree.
So thank you for explaining the impacts that it has not in both on both the individual and on society. So we've talked about the challenges. So tell us, what are the solutions? What are the opportunities? Because as you know, with every challenge, there's an opportunity. So absolutely, what's the opportunities that exist here?
And that's the good news. That's the good news. There are so many opportunities that exist out there. Let me start with the first one. The funding for CARES, the first, second, and third round of CARES, within those funding, Ramona, all of that has something called Higher Education Relief Funds. We refer to it as HERF funding in our world. That HERF funding, Ramona, was in phase one. It was in phase two. It's also in phase three. Mm-hmm. In that funding, Ramona, there are dollars that are available to students who are enrolled. So for those students who want to re-enroll, there's a way to use that. And some of those funds can be used to pay off bad past debts, which is a great opportunity for students who may want to come back, who have debts that they need to pay off. That's a great source. Some of that funding is not only directly from the government in terms of two students in our pocket, but in the HERF funding, some was allocated to colleges themselves. And the colleges have an opportunity to add more funding to students, and many of them are. Johnson County is, Southwest is as well. So there's additional funding that's going to come there as well. So the first thing I would say is for all students that are out there, this is a great opportunity. If you're thinking about summer school or fall of 2021, with all the HERF funding that exists out there, please take advantage of that. That is a tremendous opportunity for students. And by all means, this is a great time. If you want to get back to it, please take advantage of that. It's a great opportunity. You won't find a time like this in history where there's that much funding that exists from the federal government. So that's opportunity one.
So with that opportunity, how do individuals, can you be specific, how do they tap into the HERF funding? Do they have to go through their institution? Do they FAFSA? I mean, what is it that they use to go to get the funds?
No, that's a great question. The most easiest and successful way is work through your institution.
Okay.
Work through the student affairs organizations, work through them, get back, re-enroll. Work with the financial aid office. There are a tremendous amount of dollars that are available, but go to your local institution. I would suggest go to a community college, but if you want to go to a four-year institution as well, go somewhere. But those dollars exist. And so by all means, if you were engaged or if you were not engaged and you didn't enroll at all whatsoever, but you had a college that you had in mind, get in contact with them. Get in contact with them and tell them, hey, I want to come back to school. I want to go to school and I'm looking for opportunities. I would guarantee you that most institutions, I know the ones that I'm engaged with, are looking to bring students back and would welcome students back with open arms.
So they would go through their financial aid office and student affairs?
Absolutely positive. Okay. Student affairs is an overall umbrella, but okay. Then admissions okay. And financial aid certainly okay. Under that umbrella without a doubt.
Okay, let's get to those other opportunities that exist.
So that's opportunity number one. The other thing is, Ramona, you know, to be quite frank, the underlying issue of all those bad numbers that I gave you was COVID-19. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the underlying cause. You know, COVID-19 has been devastating. So the second thing is, and probably even maybe it should have been the first, is we've got to get past COVID-19. We need vaccinations. We need people to get healthy. One of the major impacts that happened, Ramona, last year, of why the numbers were so dire is, like everybody else, students were afraid to be, you know, in a classroom because they thought they may get exposed to COVID. And so that had a downward impact on enrollment. So that is absolutely critical, getting past this virus, getting vaccinations, getting to a point where, you know, we're all comfortable of being in a crowded environment. So that does send a, you know, a message to students that you will be safe. That is absolutely at the core of moving past where we are at this point.
Great recommendation, because a lot of people who are attending community colleges live in multi-generational households. Really so positive. Not only are they thinking about their own safety and not exposing themselves to the virus, they're also thinking about their family and loved ones who they may live with. Because we know a lot of community colleges, students are actually commuters and don't live on campus.
Without a doubt. And, you know, most community colleges are commuter schools. And to your point, you know, they are thinking, you know, they're young and healthy for the most part. And, you know, community colleges serve a wide swath. So I don't want to, you know, just pigeonhole into that. But, you know, many of them are thinking broader than just themselves, to your point. So there's a reason, there's an understanding why. But I think, you know, the vaccines and getting to a point, getting more vaccines, that's a key part of the solution for sure.
So are there any other opportunities you'd like to share with our audience?
I think there are two more. I think, you know, this year, Ramona, so going back to what I talked about in the context of the funding, but if you look broader in the economy, I looked at the interview this past Sunday on 60 Minutes with the chairman of the Federal Reserve. And he talked about economic growth for 2021. The prospects for economic growth in the United States in 2021 probably is going to be the best year of growth that we've seen in decades. With broader economic growth, with the economy getting better, with reopenings and all of that, there should be hopefully more improved job opportunities for everyone and more opportunities to earn an income and more opportunities for people to get back on their feet. It was severely, severely impacted by COVID-19 with the shutdowns that we have to do to be safe. So those opportunities of employment as the economy reopens and as people get greater opportunities to be employed, I would encourage everyone to take advantage of that. And this is a great time to do that as things get back to reopening. You know, the president's talked a great deal about targeting, you know, the 4th of July, an Independence Day, and, you know, being more able to do things that we would traditionally do. I hope that does come to fruition. And if it does, that should create greater economic opportunities for growth and job opportunities.
Great. And the last opportunity, you said you had one more.
The last opportunity is support from friends and family, people like you and I. Mm-hmm. For all those people that are around us that are young or whatever age they may be, that were looking to gain a certificate, get a college degree, get some form of higher education, continue to support them. You know, they need support and love and care from you and I as family members, from you and I as parents, brothers, sisters, whatever it may be, for those of us of our loved ones. That support is absolutely critical. And so please continue to support your loved ones.
I totally agree with you on that. None of us, me and you, we couldn't have finished college had it not been for the support of family and friends.
Absolutely, positively, my friend. And a great deal of gratitude to a big brother of mine who kind of put me on the straight and narrow. Mm-hmm, so thank you.
Ain't nothing like family.
Nothing like family. Nothing like family.
Yep, they'll put you on the straight and narrow and make sure you finish that race.
Absolutely.
And so all of you family members out there, if you've got a loved one in college, you need to do what you need to do in order to support them. That could be sending them money. That could be sending them that care package. That could be calling them and giving them some encouragement.
Absolutely.
That could be sending a ticket home for them to go home for the holidays or just go home for the weekend. You got to roll. You got to roll. I know when I was finishing up my I was finishing up my doctorate degree, and nobody knew the state of mind I was in at this point in time, but I was really stressed out and stuff. I had a cousin to call me. This is the last semester, you know, of my graduate career. And I had a cousin to call me and say, "When is your graduation?" Just that statement. Oh, let me get myself together. You know, she didn't know what she didn't know what she was saying to me at the time, but she was just calling me, "When's your graduation?"
Right.
She wanted to put it on the calendar, right?
Right. I understand.
So
I understand.
You don't know how much of an impact you can make on students. So make sure you support your family members and friends who are attending college and make sure you provide them with the support they need.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, for me, Ramona, sometimes it can be it's just as simple as modeling behavior. When I moved to Memphis as a teenager and got around a brother that I saw the brother I'm talking about, he's an undergraduate from Dartmouth and a graduate from Columbia, extraordinarily smart young man. But just being around him and seeing what education can do was very, very influential for me, for sure.
That's it. That's it. Well, we surely appreciate you talking to us today on the Empowerment Zone about the importance of community colleges and the role they play in society and what we need to do right now during this time of COVID and what we're going to do beyond COVID. We encourage students in the Empowerment Zone to obtain some type of advanced education for those that have the opportunity. And if you don't have the opportunity, you create an opportunity. So we thank you for joining us. Do you have any, first of all, could you tell us how our audience would get in touch with you if they wanted to contact you?
Absolutely, positively. The best and easiest way is to just look me up on LinkedIn, Mike Neal, or you'll find my information there. Send me a message. If you want to chit chat, I'd be more than happy to talk to you. But that's the most convenient and easiest way to contact me.
Great, great. And do you have any other final thoughts for our audience?
Nothing but to say, I think better days are ahead for us. We've gone through a very difficult year with community colleges and the clients I talked about. I'm optimistic about the future. And actually, in my role, looking forward to playing a very impactful role in the Kansas City, Missouri area of impacting students there. So, and I thank you all for the opportunity, for giving me a chance to come and talk about a subject I'm very passionate about.
Well, again, congratulations. Also, congratulations to Johnson County Community College. You have a treasurer in your midst that's coming to make an impact, and we're excited for him and excited for you all as well. All right. Thank you, Michael. You're always welcome back. After you get in that new role, you can come in and drop some more knowledge on us whenever you like.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it greatly.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi, we have Michael Neal here today, and he's going to give us a strategy for college success. So first, Michael, can you tell us what colleges or college did you attend? What were your majors? And then what is that strategy you have for students to ensure that they're successful in college?
Yes. Well, I attended two colleges. I started out in a college in the little small town in which I grew up in. I was an athlete coming up, so I was fortunate enough to be somewhat talented and get a college scholarship to a school called Howard Payne University. I went there, and you know, it's interesting, Ramona, you asked me about my major. This is a great story, so if you'll give me just a second to talk about it. I got a scholarship to Howard Payne, and the summer of my year in which I graduate from high school going into college, I'm at my sister's house probably a month or so prior to enrollment going to Howard Payne. And she's talking with me, oh, you're going to college. And she said, what's your major? And major, Mavis, you know, major, this is a stepping stone for me. I don't care what I major in. I'm not going to be there long anyway. So I'm going to the NBA. So maybe to the Olympics in a few years. So I'll major in anything. She says, well, if they ask you, just tell them accounting. And so that's how we ended the conversation. I go to Howard Payne, we enroll. Hey, Mike, what's your major? My sister said, put me in accounting. So they signed me up for accounting. Next thing I know, I'm in business classes, taking accounting and all that. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got started. Mm-hmm. I left Howard Payne, moved to Memphis not too long after that. Changed my major from accounting and went to finance. Got an undergraduate finance at the University of Memphis and a graduate degree in economics. So those were my majors in the institution side. And it's funny how I got started.
So what is your advice?
My advice is flexibility, especially in today's for students. You know, you need to be flexible. Learning modalities are much different today than they were when you and I were going to school, Ramona. You know, a lot of it's online or hybrid. A lot of it's different. Technology is at the core of learning. You know, there are probably more additional hurdles that you have to deal with, just society demands, the demands of social media for young people, I know can be tough, but be flexible, be willing to do what you need to do to work through. There will be challenges. I'll tell you this, as you go through your education, just as in life, there will be challenges. And I remember a saying that a coach used to tell me that was very influential when I was a teenager. He would say, Mike, two things he would say. One would say is, what you're doing now, you'll be doing for the rest of your life. And when he first told me that, I didn't appreciate what he meant. But he was talking about, you know, dealing with the current situations and how you handle things and go mm-hmm. through things. If you have a behavior in a way to make it through these challenges and you figure out these things now, you've built the model because you're going to have challenges through life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was one of the sayings. And the other thing was that, hey, you know, you're 17, 18 years old. You don't have any real challenges. There'll be more to come in life. Kids, family, you know, jobs, a spouse, whatever it may be. A loss of a loved one, like a parent, you know, be challenges that have come through life. And so, you know, find mechanisms and way to deal with them and, you know, kind of model the behavior that you want. And I certainly would encourage students to do that. And I would say, hey, at the end of the day, when you do, are you successful at obtaining an education? For me, it has been the greatest single thing I've ever done in terms of accomplishments and then providing opportunities for me professionally and economically for my entire career. I've been very fortunate, but at the core of that has been the opportunity to get a higher education mm-hmm. degree.
Well, thank you so much for those strategies. With that little story that you started off with, I thought you were going to talk about how to choose a major. So
I'm not the person to ask for that. Ask your sister.
So students, you hear those strategies. Be flexible when you get to campus in terms of your learning. Find ways, establish ways while you're in college to learn how to manage life. Because how you approach your challenges while you're in college is really going to create your life habits, I guess you can say. And you want to be proactive and not always reactive and learn how to
manage it in style and in grace, as Michael stated, because all of you're going to have challenges throughout your life. And lastly, he said, if you have the opportunity, make sure you try to complete your higher education, that it is very much an opportunity. So thank you so much, Michael Neal. We appreciate those strategies for college success.
Thank you.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song, NADWORKS, digital support, and of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.